Welcome to the Story Weaver podcast. I'm your host, Bron Rauch Mitchell. Come sit with me under the story tree as I weave a tale or two for you. Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Storytime with Bron. Today I'll be reading another three chapters from Swallow Me Now by Melissa Gisbers. Each Monday I will read another three chapters until we have concluded the book. To find out more about the book or to purchase your own copy, please head over to melissagisbers.com. The link will be in the episode description. Chapter 13. In the Gazebo. "How is the evil genius's daughter?" Felicity greeted her every morning during the following days. Jade and the other girls giggled. Sam tried to ignore them. "Oh, are you too good to talk to us now?" Jade called out, copying Felicity's tone of voice. Sam's eyes filled with tears again. "I'm not going to cry," she told herself every time. Life at school was unbearable for Sam. Felicity took delight in making snide comments and ensuring that Sam was given the cold shoulder by her friends. If there was a task to be done in pairs, Felicity's friends would make sure they spread themselves out and manoeuvred things so that Sam was on her own. Recess and lunchtime were no better. Sam tried to hang around with Felicity and the other girls, but they acted like she wasn't there, or they would tease her, but only when there were no teachers around. Sam thought about asking some of the other kids if she could play with them, but was too scared in case they would tease her too. "I only wanted to fit in," Sam would cry to herself at night. "How did I get here?" She went over every moment in her head, trying to work out what she could have done differently. Each time she remembered the various incidents, things would be worse than they actually had been. She did her best to hide things at home, blaming her cold so she could hide in her room, even though she'd been feeling better for ages. She even tried to convince her mum that her cold was getting much worse than it was, so she could stay home. But her mum insisted that she go to school. At school, Sam tried to hide what was happening with Felicity from Mrs. Kirov by concentrating hard on her schoolwork. Working on it was one way of pushing thoughts of what was happening out of her mind. In spite of this, her schoolwork suffered. Try as she might, the negative thoughts would eat away at her, clouding out what she was supposed to be concentrating on, making her feel like she couldn't do tasks that she was good at. The final straw came about a week and a half after she tried to prove that her mum was an evil genius. "I did some research." Sam looked up, surprised to hear Felicity talking to her nicely. She was sitting in the gazebo on her own. "Evil geniuses eat their children." Felicity had a smug look on her face. "If your mum really is an evil genius, you mustn't have been good enough to eat." Sam didn't know what to say. She already felt like she wasn't good enough. This made her feel even worse. "How dare you?" Sam cried. "Why do you have to be so mean?"
"Me?
Mean?" Felicity asked with mock innocence. "I'm not mean. I was only trying to be your friend."
"Trying to be my friend?" Sam replied in disbelief, tears threatening to spill down her face. "Ever since I arrived, you've been cheating off my work. You've left me out and teased me. You call that being a friend?"
Felicity just stood there with a false look of horror on her face.
You've got me all wrong."
Felicity's tone dripped with sarcasm.
"That's how we are friendly to people who lie to us."
She turned to walk away, flicking her perfect blonde hair over her shoulder. Sam couldn't believe her ears. She rushed at Felicity, pushing her over into the flower bed that surrounded the gazebo. Chapter 14.
to the principal's office. That's it. Felicity stood up, brushing mud off her hands and knees. I'm telling on you. You are going to be in so much trouble. She marched off to find the teacher on duty, her fake limp getting more noticeable with every step. What have I done? Sam whispered to herself. This time she let the tears flow. She sat down on the bench and put her head in her hands as the bell went for the end of lunchtime. Hearing her name, she looked up and saw Mr. Winter stepping into the gazebo. Samantha, he began as he sat down beside her. What is going on? Sam burst into tears again and wanted to run away, but she didn't. I think you need to come with me to see Mrs. Hamilton. Sam sniffed, wiped the tears on her sleeve, and followed Mr. Winter towards the principal's office. With every step, her feet felt heavier, and she struggled to keep up. What have I done? I'm really in trouble now. The thoughts went through her head, making her feel as though she was the worst girl in the world. Sit here, Samantha, Mr. Winter instructed when they arrived inside. He indicated for Sam to sit on a seat in the front office while he went off to find Mrs. Hamilton, the school principal. Sam sat down on the seat and wiped her face on her sleeve again. From where she was sitting, she could see through the door to the sick bay, where Felicity was playing up her imaginary injuries to the school secretary who was administering first aid. Felicity caught Sam's eye and looked at her with a look that says, I've got you. Sam looked down and concentrated on the pattern on the carpet. Without thinking, she reached for a braid and started sucking the end. What am I going to do now? She asked herself again as Mr. Winter returned with Mrs. Hamilton. Chapter 15. In Trouble. Sam, tell me what happened, Mrs. Hamilton said when they were seated in the principal's office. Sam didn't say anything. Instead, she looked at a spot of sunlight on the floor and sucked the end of one of her braids. She was scared that telling her about Felicity and her taunts would make things worse, especially as she felt it was her fault for making up stories about her mum in the first place. Instead of going back to her classroom for the last hour of the day, Sam stayed in the front office until her mum came to pick her up. Sam's mum arrived shortly before the bell rang. You okay, Nun, eh? She asked Sam as Mrs. Hamilton came out of her office. Sam just shrugged. Mrs. Phillips, Mrs. Hamilton greeted Sam's mum and invited her into the office. Sam watched in silence from her seat in the front office while Mrs. Hamilton spoke to her mum in a hushed tone. She stared out the office window and heard the bell ring for the end of the day. She tried to distract herself from what her mum and the principal were saying by watching the other kids leave the playground to head home. Sam wished she was one of them. She had no idea what her mum and the principal were saying, probably something about how horrible she was. After what seemed like an eternity, her mum came out of the principal's office. Come on, Nanae, let's get your bag and go home. Without a sound, Sam got up from her seat and followed her mum to her classroom. Thankful that the school grounds were now empty, apart from the kids at after-school care, playing a game on the basketball court. While Sam was getting her bag, her mum spoke with Mrs. Kirol to see if she had any homework. The walk home was quiet. Sam's mum tried to get Sam talking, but she refused to say anything. Sam didn't even mind when it started raining. Instead of pulling up the hood on her pink coat, she lifted her face to the rain, letting the raindrops mingle with her tears. As soon as the front door was opened, Sam ran to her bedroom. Slamming the door with such force, all the pictures on the walls rattled. She flung herself face down on her bed, holding Binky close, and let her tears flow freely. The events of the last few weeks were running through her head, and she finally let it all come out. She was exhausted. Sam's mum knocked on her door. Nane, are you all right? I've made hot chocolate.
Go away, Sam shouted, as a fresh wave of tears started.
She heard the door open, and a mum came in and put the mug of hot chocolate on her desk. She sat on the bed and started to stroke Sam's back. Do you want to talk about it?
No! Go away, Sam repeated,
putting her pillow over her head to hide her tears and block out anything her mum would say. Her mum stayed for a minute, rubbing Sam's back, before getting up and leaving the room. And that concludes today's chapters for Swallow Me Now by Melissa Gispers. As we still have time, I shall read one of my own stories, Sunny the Fairy Mouse, a flash fiction tale from Teapot Tales, Volume 3, a collection of unusual fairy tales. Sunny the Fairy Mouse by Bron Rauch Mitchell.
Good afternoon, my dear readers. It's wonderful to see you again. Please, come in, grab a cushion, and make yourself comfortable. There are tales to be told, and the day is not long. Are you comfortable? Then let's proceed. Today I'd like to tell you the story of the day that I met a dear friend. I know that some of you are familiar with the fairies that live at the bottom of most gardens. You may have even been lucky enough to catch a brief glimpse of them as they flitter about the flowers collecting nectar and pollen, or as they dance around their toadstool rings on the night of the full moon. But I wonder, how many of you are familiar with the fairy that lives at the bottom of my garden? All fairies are special, but the fairy that lives in my garden is very special indeed, for Sunny is a fairy mouse. Yes. Yes, you did hear me correctly. Sunny lives at the bottom of my garden, and her house is just as unique as she is, for Sunny lives in a teapot house with her best friend, Humphrey the Ladybug, and her pet flea, George. I first met Sunny when she was just a wee fairy mouseling. It was a beautiful warm morning towards the end of spring. I was in the garden of Sunflower Cottage where I live, enjoying the lazy breeze as I went about my morning chores. Butterflies dressed in their finest jewels and gowns waltzed from flower to flower, chattering loudly to me about the ball that they were returning from. Dazzling jewel-encrusted dragonflies raced one another across the length of the garden bed. The garden was a symphony of birdsong as crows cawed, magpies warbled, and honey-eaters encored their dawn song. I could tell that it was going to be a remarkable day. I was deep in thought, planning what I would serve for morning tea for the neighbourhood fairies, when I heard a soft yet frantic call. I spun around and saw Summer Grace, one of the fairies that I was expecting later in the morning. She appeared to be in a state.
"Come quick, please, Bron. There's been a terrible attack and you are needed."
Without further ado, I raced to the back veranda, grabbed the emergency medical kit that I kept for such situations, and followed Summer Grace out into the woods on my property. I was the caretaker of the local fairies. Being the caretaker was something that I enjoyed, but it was also a position that came with great responsibility, especially on mornings like this one, when one of the local predators had slipped through the fairy wards and caused untold damage. As I walked, Summer Grace filled me in on what had happened. A feral cat caught up with a small family of fairies that were not local to our area. We were not expecting them, and the cat caught up with them outside of our borders. Sadly, there was only one survivor, Sunny, the youngest child. We reached the borders, and Summer Grace led me over to Sunny. There she stood, the most unique fairy that I had ever seen. Sunny was a fairy mouse, one of the rarest types of fairies. She was lost, dazed and confused. Her entire family had been killed by the feral cat, and she was left orphaned and alone. The poor wee baby was crying and hanging tight to a well-loved teddy bear. Sunny's golden gossamer wings were crumpled and slightly torn. Her fur was matted with dirt and dried blood, and her dress was tattered.
Giving her a quick once-over, I saw that she was cold and distressed. I pulled out a clean handkerchief-sized blanket from the emergency kit, scooped the mouseling up as gently as I could, laid her on it, and wrapped her up. Cradling her to my chest, I hurried back home, keeping her as still as I could. Her sobs ceased, and she fell into a fitful sleep. Back at Sunflower Cottage, I carefully examined her. Apart from her torn wings, there was no serious damage, some bruises, bumps, and a few grazes, but they would all heal in a short period of time. However, it was too early to tell how traumatized she would be from the attack and the loss of her family. As carefully as I could, I cleaned her up, Summer Grace assisting me by setting up the spare bed. The fairies were regular visitors to the cottage, so there is always a supply of clothing and odds and ends on hand for them. I pulled out a nightgown and held it against her sleeping form, roughly measuring the fit with my experienced eyes. It would fit nicely. With Summer Grace's assistance, we dressed Sunny and tucked her and her teddy bear into the spare bed. Her sobs stopped and her breathing calmed. She fell into a deeper, more restful sleep. Summer Grace spoke quietly. "I'll talk to the Fairy Council to confirm, but I think the best course of action would be if Sunny stayed here while she healed. I'll visit regularly, but the peace and quiet of Sunflower Cottage will be invaluable while she recovers. She is too young to understand what has happened to her family. In fact, the trauma may be too great and she may have no memory of the attack. Only time will tell." I agreed, dear readers, and that is the story of how I met Sunny the Fairy Mouse and how she came to live with me at Sunflower Cottage. But now, dear friends, the afternoon is drawing to a close and you must return to your homes. Sunny's further adventures will wait until you return. Please pass my love on to your families, and I will see you soon. That is it for today's show. Please return next Monday when I read another three chapters of Swallow Me Now by Belissa Gisbers. Please return on Wednesday for poetry readings with Bron. Thank you. The Story Weaver podcast, intro and outro, were created by Paul using licensed music from Stock 20. Paul is also the editor for the show. If you would like to contact me, you can send me an email to thestoryweaverpodcast@gmail.com. Farewell for now, dear friends.